Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
New Scientist from the 22nd of June 2019. The worst of all possible worlds. Mercury, Venus are the two Earth's closest cousins, says Lee Crane. So how should they turn out to be so hellish? Mm-hmm. Well, close to the sun lie a pair of sizzling coals. You could be forgiven for thinking these strange worlds were two circles of hell. Mercury, a black and blasted plain, and Venus, a sweltering world beset by rains of pure acid. But for all the terror of the outward appearance, their insides are remarkably familiar. Along with the Earth and Mars, they form the solar system's only rocky planets, a stark contrast to the bloated gas giants that make up the outermost worlds. In the language of those hunting for extraterrestrial life, such planets count for as potentially habitable. In fact, if we found a Mercury or a Venus in the solar system far from our own, we might even call them Earth-like. So what caused these seemingly Earth-like planets to become so resolutely, well, not? Was it some accidents of composition or millions of years spent in an inhospitable environment? Getting to the bottom of the questions, the understanding of the diversity of the rock planets is paramount importance to astronomy. Without clear answers, we aren't only ignorant of our own solar system's history, but blinkered in our search for life elsewhere. Part of the problem is that the innermost planets are incredibly hard to visit. Only two spacecrafts have ever made it to Mercury, and of the numerous Venus landers, none survived longer than 90 minutes. Painting a more detailed picture involves a new generation of probes. This is the European Space Agency and Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, BepiColombo, currently on its way to Mercury. While the chances of finding signs of life is close to zero, the data it sends back will help us look for it elsewhere. To find out anything about Mercury, though, we first have to get them. The biggest problem when it comes to planning a trip to Mercury is the Sun. When your next-door neighbour is a star 6 million times heavier than you, with a gravitational field 80 times stronger, visitors have a tendency to get redirected. If a spacecraft flies to Mercury too quickly, it will be trapped by the Sun's powerful gravity and dragged to its doom. But even heading straight for the planet doesn't guarantee you will arrive. The second you point your rocket towards Mercury, you're going far too fast to be caught by Mercury's gravity, says Paul Byrne of North Carolina State University. The Sun has so much gravity that the direct mission to Mercury is always a miss. We didn't know how to get into an orbit around Mercury until the mid-80s, when Chen Wan Yen of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California figured it out. A spacecraft has to take a scenic route, which loops around the Earth and Venus, multiple loops past Mercury to slow it down before it can enter the orbit. The first probe to visit was Mara 10, which flew past rather than orbiting, just three times between 74 and 75. The second was Messenger. It orbited for 4 years around 2011. We had Mara 10 to go by, and it was craters and all a little bit boring, says David Rothbury at the Open University of UK. Quote, we would still wonder. If Mercury was boring, if we hadn't sent messages there to prove it wasn't. One thing Messenger experienced directly was just how hot the planet gets. The orbiter had periodically backed away from Mercury just to keep its instruments cool. On the day side, the surface reaches temperatures up to 430 degrees Celsius. And because there's barely any atmosphere to hold the heat in and spread it around the planet, the temperature dropped precipitously on the night side when the sun sets, down to 175 degrees Celsius. Day and night are drawn out affairs too. The average, with an average of 176 Earth days elapsing between sunrise, one day is longer than the planet's year. That's interesting. These temperature extremes mean that life, as we know it, is almost impossible on Mercury. There are a few sunless craters near the poles that may have small amounts of water ice, but they are probably too cold for liquid water, with little or no oxygen. Pretty much every place gets very hot and very cold, says Byrne. It's not great if you're a bug, let alone anything more complicated. The low surface pressure and the lack of air makes it even less hospitable. More bubbles come from within. The planet is intensely volcanic, says Lynn Rossett, U.S. Geological Survey, as astrogeology. The sun sets in Arizona. Quote, the whole northern plain areas, which makes up more than 10% of the surface, is solidified lava. Mercury has signs of what is known as explosive volcanism, a more dramatic type of eruption. Elements that boil at relatively low temperature, known as volatiles, form gas bubbles in lava, which pop to the surface to spew hot liquid rock in all directions. Most of the eruptions seem to have happened about 3.8 billion years ago, which is when Mercury's interior was still molten from the heat of its formation. Volatile nature. In theory, the most volatile elements on Mercury's surface should have already boiled away due to the proximity to the Sun, but they're still there. Before we got there, we had no idea that it should be depleted. Volatile elements, says Catherine Van Caden of the Lunar and Planetary Institute in Texas. And then we get there and we realise there's lots of these volatiles on the surface. On a planet with no liquid or water and little weather, these volatiles play a key role in shaping Mercury's surface features. In addition to powering volcanoes, they are also responsible for Mercury's most unearth-like attribute. Instead of an atmosphere, the tiny planet has an exosphere, a thin and tenuous layer of particles floating above the surface. It's not so much an atmosphere as a slow evaporation of the planet, says Vera Manco of the National Institute of Astrophysics in Rome, Italy. The exosphere is mostly hydrogen and oxygen, and some helium, sodium and potassium as well. It comes from when charged particles of the sun sneak through the planet's magnetic field and hit the surface, sending tiny particles of dust and gas flying. It's continuously created and continuously fading away into space. You read that right? Mercury is slowly shrinking. The process isn't only powered by evaporation either. As its molten cores began to cool, the planet started to solidify, causing the surface to contract. Cliffs on the surface can be up to 1,000 kilometres long and 3 kilometres high, show that its diameter has shrunk by several kilometres since the crust formed, crumpling land scrape. This is interesting because that's the Soviet view of rock formation. As Mercury's surface is all one shell rather than several tectonic plates, these cliffs probably couldn't have formed in any other way. Despite millions of years of cooling, some of the core is still liquid. Billions of years. Part of the reason is it's taken so long to freeze. Maybe simply the core is enormous. It takes up 85% of the Mercury's radius, far more than any other planet we know of. Dig just a few hundred kilometres through the crust and you will hit molten, iron-rich core. On Earth, you'd have to dig through almost 3,000 kilometres to reach the edge of the core. I don't think it's right. The core is 1,000 kilometres across, and the Earth's 6,000. Yeah, that's just not going to add up. And this thin veneer of rock over a huge core combined with unexpected volatiles has led some researchers to conclude that Mercury may have formed further from the Sun and then smashed into another larger protoplanet as it migrated inward, stripping off its rocket outer layer. It could come in and hit a young Earth or a young Venus and lose its rock, but not its volatiles in the process, says Rothbury's. Without this hit and run, Mercury might be a much bigger planet and much more structurally similar to Earth. Planetary scientists are still scratching their heads over the mysteries of messages revealed, which is where Beppe Colombo comes in. The hope is that it will answer some of the questions. Beppe Colombo consists of two orbiters that will separate when they reach Mercury and provide the most comprehensive global view we have ever had of the strange little world. It's launched in 2018 because of its convoluted path necessary to skim safely into orbit. It won't arrive there till the end of 2025. Meanwhile, Venus has been an unloved fate. Venus is sort of a middle child, says Tracy Greg of the University of Buffalo in New York, less loved than the favourite sibling of Mars and the gas giants. Of the 27 successful visits since 1962, only 5 occurred after 1990. That means our knowledge is even less up-to-date than that of Mercury. It isn't that Venus is particularly hard to get to, it's just hard to learn about once you're there. The Soviet landers lasted about 1 hour and an hour and a half on the surface before essentially they're cooked. Says Grieg, surface temperatures around 470 degrees with crushing pressure from the heavy atmosphere 900 times that at sea level on Earth. 90 times. Venus' inhospitable conditions have very different origins to Mercury. Usually people think of Venus is so warm because it's near the sun to Earth. But that's not true, says Pedro Mercado of the Institute of Astrophysics and Space Sciences in Portugal. Its cloud reflects around 70% of the incoming radiation from the sun. Instead, Venus is hot because of runaway greenhouse effect. Its thick carbon dioxide atmosphere traps heat near the surface. That thick haze, which inexplicably rotates 60 times faster than the solar planet, means that the heat gets distributed around the world instead of radiating away into a chill space at night. Unlike Mercury, there's no cold type. Well, there's an idea that the atmosphere is turning... Well, it is, because Venus is not really rotating. For some, it's almost got a locked orbit. The atmosphere also hides the surface from orbiters, so we have very limited data on what lies below Venusian clouds. I don't believe that, so. We don't know what Venus is made of, said Byrne. We don't know if the bus is tectonically active. We don't know if the crating rate is. We don't know why the atmosphere is moving so fast. It's interesting. Venus is a place of mysteries. From radar data, we can see that it appears to be volcanic landforms, channels carved by lava, plains of tectonic rocks, an excess of 1,600 major volcanoes, more than anywhere else in the solar system, even though there is no evidence that they are active now. It is also home to the longest channel in the solar system, which once carried lava nearly 7,000 kilometres. But nobody knows where the lava came from or where it went after it created the channel. We don't see a big pile of lava at the end of the channel. We don't see the volcanic mountains or volcanic crater at the beginning of this channel, says Grieg. These channels on Venus have no source, no sink, and yet they're there. There are strange bright mass areas of terrain called terraceae, which tend to be full of long ridges and troughs that form when the crust shifts due to tectonic activities. There have been hints that from the landers that these areas may be rich in silica, like continental crust on Earth. If we were to determine that the tessera were continental crust, it would be a big finding, because it would mean that there was much more complicated geology and chemistry than is happening now, says Byrne. There had been. There was much more. Crucially, this will also be one of the many areas of similarity to Earth. Venus and Earth should be twins, says Grieg. They are made up of the same stuff, and they are about the same distance from the sun. They have about the same size, and yet, quote, planetary popularity context. Oh, here. If Venus and Earth formed close to where they are now, they should have added the same amount of water, whether they formed with it or got it from meteorites later on. There is no obvious reason for Venus to be so different, aside from maybe the lack of plate tectonics make it difficult to sequester carbon dioxide in rocks. Early in its history, Venus may even be a pleasant for life, with surface water and less dense atmosphere. Now, being on the surface is like diving to ocean at a depth of around 1 kilometre. It's also like being in an incinerator, says Machilo. There are better places to go for holidays. Perhaps the implausibility of life in Venus and Mercury is why it's hard to build an interest in the vicinity here. Quote, we're probably not going to find life there, says Picota, and we can't go to the surface with an astronaut one day and plant a flag in the soil.
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.